Good morning. How's everybody doing? You know, I love Christmas season, but I also like when it's over. I know that sounds weird, but sometimes with the holidays and the craziness, you get distracted on other things. There's something about normalcy I like. When I say normalcy, I'm like, for church, you feel pressure to do certain words, or I feel like this is a corporate word. I didn't plan it. It's like, you know, this is the first message of the new year, right? It's not like, oh, I want to give a corporate word. I wasn't really planning that. I wasn't really focused on that. It's like God, but when he gave it to me, I realized it was. Now, saying that doesn't make it a corporate word. You believing it doesn't make it a corporate word. Just because you believe something doesn't make it true. There's a Heaven Gates cult. They killed themselves, years ago because the leader said the aliens are coming. I'm not going to get into that, but they really believed that was true. They put their lives, it doesn't make it true. Truth is truth because he says it. It's not because your past said it or your present says it. It's what's true is when he says it. Even though I met a kid one time, a young kid I was witnessing to him. He didn't believe in gravity. And he goes, I don't even know if that tree is real. I said, run full speed into that tree, and that tree will tell you I am real. And he just looked at me because I knew he wasn't going to do it. So what makes this a corporate word is that it is a corporate word and that the pastoral staff says yes. It's not because I say it, but I do believe that. I hope that it rings true. Before I get started, I want to talk about two healings. Last time I talked about healings, I want to talk about healings again. And I specifically don't mention the people that God used to heal because we focus on that. We focus on the person. We focus on their anointing. We focus on the revival. We focus on their service instead of focusing on Jesus. It's true. Like, I'll say, like, you know, they went to Randy Clark, or Bill, and they'll say, Randy Clark laid hands on me. Bill Johnson laid hands on me. And very rarely we hear people say, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me through. It's a vessel. I don't care how fancy the faucet is. I don't care how big the minister is, well known. When you look under that counter, there are supply lines. There is a hot and a cold. If you turn off those supply lines, nothing runs through that faucet. The only reason they have something to give is because of God. And at the end of the age, when everybody stands before him, everybody's going to realize all good things truly came from him. It just came through people. It doesn't come from people. There's a huge difference. If you receive something today, it is not from me. It is through me. It is Jesus. It was always about him. It was never not about him. He wasn't in the manger. That's not when he started, before time began. In fact, the Father created all things through his Son. The Father loves to show off his Son. Amen. And when you do that in your life, when you focus on Jesus, when you point to Jesus, he is the way maker. He will make a way. Because I believe God wants to do a healing revival. I believe he wants to pour out his glory out in this place. There's anointings, there's presence. He can be everywhere at once. He's not. In the Bible, he pulls him back from evil places. He'll tell the angels, go check on it because God's not there. I know a lot of people don't believe that. But there's the glory. The glory is not for him. The glory is for us. God doesn't need his glory because he has his glory. It's for his children, amen, and it's for the lost that become his children. You know, God demonstrates his goodness to the lost so that they become his children, not just so they can have a healing or not so they can have a prophetic word. It's so that they can become his children. That is the end result. Some people come in, get a prophetic word, go, that's amazing, and they go home. If they don't give their life to Christ, that prophetic word just fell to the ground. It did nothing. That was not the goal, to give you goosebumps on a Sunday morning. It was to draw you to him. So I'm going to give you two healings up. The first one was this minister was standing, and some of the healings that every time I preach, I'm just going to give some testimonies. I'm not going to mention names, and I just believe it's to build faith and to say it can happen here. It's not just so we say, oh, that was awesome, and I'm not even going to give you the place, because I need to go here. I need to go here. No, we need to go to Jesus. And Jesus, when his glory comes, it's not like we're going to go here, we're going to go here. Yes, I believe in impartation. Yes, I believe in impact, but I also believe God wants to demonstrate his glory here in this place. Amen. That's what we're going after. And this minister was on stage, and he heard a woman screaming. They came to the altar. They were up there for, multiple reasons. But he heard a woman screaming in his church, and he knows that couple. So he goes down, and he thinks something's wrong. And she's standing looking at her husband's hand, who got damaged in the war. Pieces were missing, like these two fingers. And she saw it being pieced back together right in front of her eyes. And she was screaming. That is what a reaction would be. Let me give you another testimony. There was three ministers. There's two ministers, and one says, I'm not going to get into the names, don't ask. One says, hey, you need to have so-and-so come to your church. He has incredible just miracles. So they met him. They say, hey, lay hands off for impartation, because what he sees is metal being removed from people's bodies, right? So these two ministers, lay hands off for impartation, right? So I'll just say minister A, Ran into some minister B, and he goes, man, it's broken out. Like, I've been praying for people. And he goes, I don't know if the metal disappears or if it gets flimsy, but they're moving their hands and stuff. So the minister B goes, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. So he goes to a service, and he goes, if you have metal in your body, if you need healing, stand up. He goes, and these are well-known people. They stood up. He goes, not one person got healed. He goes, I ain't doing that again. He goes, that set me back in my heart. He goes, I'm not doing that again. So he went to a place, and he's like, no, I'm not doing that again. And he's going out to eat, and this man hands him a piece of paper and says, look at this. I'm in pain. He was going out to eat. You know, he's like, look. So he goes, I looked at it. It was an x-ray. There was two metal bars going down his spine, two this way. So two horizontal, two vertical, and there was like 15, I'm being conservative because it was more than 15 screws in his neck. He goes, I don't even have that. So he had all those screws in his neck, two bars this way and two bars that way. So that night at the service, he goes, no, I'm not going there. But he goes, there was a man there who seen metal disappear. So he goes, come just tell your story. So he goes, okay. He goes, if you need healing in your body, stand up. 40-some people stood up. He prayed. He goes, if you're healed, wave your hands. And 20-some out of 40-some waved their hands, and the man who gave him the x-ray was raising his hands. And he goes, since that time till today, we've had over 800 healings of metal. See, because he didn't quit. He didn't stop. He didn't. The other one had success. He goes, no, because who gives us success? Jesus? Amen? Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. The Bible says, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged place is a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We sang about it. Alan chose that song. I'm not going to sing it, because then you guys throw me out, but you're the way. The way, right? He's the way. And then we sing about the glory. Jesus is the way. And when we make a way for Jesus, he makes a way for everything else that we need, if we focus on that. So I believe this is a corporate word, because John came later. He says, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. I believe this year, now it's not a physical way John made. He didn't grab a shovel, and he didn't try to make the mountains low, and he didn't try to make the valleys. It was a spiritual way. It was a way in people's hearts. He said, here comes the Messiah. Make straight the way. I believe what God wants to do is make our way straight to allow him to come in, for he can demonstrate his glory. I believe, we're going to make a highway for him this year. The epicenter is going to make a highway for him. Now, highways are not like highways back then, but it wasn't like, you know, exit signs, and there wasn't like asphalt, but it was wider, but there was more traffic, but there was more movement. I believe God this year in the epicenter wants to make a highway so there's more movement of him, so it's straighter, so it's not crooked. Another thing a highway does is it saves time. Everything in your life that took this point to get to this, it won't take this. Thousands of years, over 300 prophecies to get to this point, and Jesus condensed it in 3.5 years because there was a highway. There was not a low way. There was a highway. See, I used to live in Colorado, and I used to look across the plains, and I'd see the mountain. See, the mountain, God wants to make every mountain low. Everything we focused on, everything we thought was so high. Because when you're looking across the plains, you don't go, look at that divot. You go, look at those mountains. 4 years I lived in Colorado. It was beautiful. These things that we focus on, God wants to bring down. Those things in our heart, because here's the truth. There's many times I care more about what you think than God thinks. That's just the truth. It's not my intention. It's not what I like. But God says, John, I want to bring those mountains down. I want you to give the word of the Lord. I want you to go places and speak what I speak. If they give you an offering, if they don't like, if they don't invite you back, don't care, because I accept you. See, when I put my hand on the pillow at the hotel, that's when God says, well done, good and faithful servant. It's not when they said, we liked your sermon. It's not when they liked the prophecy. It's when he says, good and faithful servant, well done. I like what you see. I know when I preach the word and it's his word, I know it's right. It's not when you say you like it. It's not when you put it on Facebook, even though I enjoy it. It's when I have that confidence that I spoke what he said. And so this year, he wants to bring the highways down, the high places down, and make a highway, because highways save time. And he wants to bring in your life more movement of his presence, more movement of his glory, and it saves time. See, there's highways from California to Nevada, Vegas. No, I didn't go there to gamble. But you're thankful for those roads because it saves time and it's not curvy. And another thing he wants to do is bring the low places up, the insecurities in our life, the people in this place that don't think they don't have any value or use. He wants to bring them up to a level ground. Amen. Because there's people in this place. I think all of us maybe have areas in our life, because this isn't to you, this is for you. I hope you guys hear my heart. This is not like, you need to do this. This is not about what you need to do. This is about, hey, let's prepare the road for the Lord so it's a direct path for him. See, it's for him. A voice one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. It is for him. It's not for us. It's not to make your life easier, to have more blessings. It's not to be better off. It's not to have at the end of the year, well, I did this. Those things are nice. Those things are right. But he wants us focused to be for him. He wants us to prepare a way for him. See, when he comes in, see, when we make a way for Jesus, he does. He makes a way for everything else. See, I want this and I want that. And there's things we need in our lives, right? There's things that you need right now. You need some breakthrough. You need some physical things. Some of us need some emotional things. Some of us need all. I'll take it all. You know, deliver me, everything. We need all that. But when I make a way for Jesus and I don't focus on those things that want to exalt themselves and I make a road for Jesus, then he comes in and all of a sudden he brings, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. And Jesus Christ himself brings it in. There's fears and insecurities that some, because if you walk in the desert, because he made a highway, John the Baptist came out of an unexpected place. It was not expected. See, before John the Baptist preached and before Jesus came, the scribes and Pharisees were the mountains. They were the ones who spoke. They were the teachers. They were the rabbi. You know, people don't realize, but rabbis in the Jewish culture, they spoke in parables before Jesus. Jesus was not the first rabbi to speak in parables, but he was the first one to do it with authority. See, he was the first, and they say, there's the difference. He has authority. See, when you bring Jesus in, all of a sudden, now he has the authority to do those things which he has promised over your life and this place, and that's glory. See, God wants to bring the glory in this place. Amen? Those things I talk about, those healings, those are miracles. Those aren't just colds and sicknesses. Those are miracles, signs, wonders, miracles. And that's what he wants in this place, miracles. There's gifts of healings. There's workings of miracles, amen? And he wants all those things to be done in our life. And those are miracles. Those are crazy things to see a hand stitched together. That's a miracle, but he can do it. And he wants to do it. Why? Because he wants to show himself off. Why? Because he's good. He wants people to draw him. He draws all men to himself. That's what, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. And some people kind of look, some people kind of observe, but he doesn't want us to question or wonder or think. He wants us to come to him and sit at his table. There was 12. There was thousands of people when Jesus, but he only chose 12, and he was close to 3. See, you don't have to focus on anybody else, what this person's doing, what this person's, God, we want your glory here. I'm going to sit next to you, Jesus. Judas left and did a task. John sat next to him. See, you can do many things. You can do many, 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 many things. Many things that look good or important. But when you sit at his feet and listen to his presence, and I know we're busy, and I know everybody's different. Some people, they do in the morning. Some people do in the night. Some people do it. But it's not, you know, it's not giving him 10 minutes. Let me just say that. Because he came out of an unexpected place, and God will interrupt your life, and he came out of the desert. John the Baptist came out of a very unexpected place, and he was an unexpected man. So what? He's eating locust and honey. Locusts was a curse. The locust. Locust was not a good thing in the Bible, but everything that's harmed you and cursed you can give you fuel. Because he ate locust and he ate honey and he ate the sweetness and it was natural. It was natural. See, it's natural for you to be supernatural. What's not natural for you is after you become born again to use only your mind, to only what you see. That's not natural. Honey was natural. He ate honey. He ate the locust, the thing that was cursed, the thing that was bad. All of a sudden, that fueled him. Every wrong thing that's ever happened to you, every time someone did you wrong, or every bitterness or anger in your life can be fuel for your life if you bring it to God. If you forgive and release, now all of a sudden he can use that, and now you can have compassion on people. Because very few people have compassion that's never been through anything. So it's either going to make you, if you've been through something, it's going to make you bitter, or it's going to make you angry, or it'll make you compassionate for other people and give you power and authority over that situation, amen? As people that have the most messed up marriages have the greatest marriage ministries. It's not, we've always had it together. No, we wanted to kill each other. They asked Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife one time, when she was alive, they asked her, you ever think about divorce? She goes, divorce? Never. Murder? Yes. But they have a testimony. See, he took fishermen. It wasn't expected. And God's going to come in the places in your life where you don't expect, at the times and the seasons you don't expect, because they did not expect John the Baptist. They didn't expect the man, and they didn't expect his location. He wasn't a scribe. He wasn't a Pharisee. Basically, came out of nothing. Out of nowhere, all of a sudden, he said, and then even the scribes and Pharisees, but the people came and repented. What? They had a change of thinking. Repent means to change your mind. And when you change your mind, then your actions can change. It's not just feeling sorry about something. Yes, we feel grieving. Yes, but it's a change of mind. And God wants us to change our mind because this road is not a physical road. We're not going to go out there and dig a straighter road to the epicenter. John said, dig a straighter road, you know, handle real snakes. This is a road in our heart to make straight the way for the Lord. God, this is what we're focused on. We focused on this. I'm talking individually. We focused on this mountain. This looks so big because when you look across the plains, you notice the mountains. You talk about the mountains. I live in Colorado. They're so beautiful. People come and visit. Those mountains are so beautiful. They would never say, that road's so nice. And what we talk about, what we focus on, and I'm talking about what we talk about in our heart. That thing you think you can never get over. That thing you think you'll never cross. So we'll never have a ministry, we'll never do this. And you just fill in the blank. Situation, sin. And I'm not just talking about sin. I'm talking about obstacles, things. So you have thousands of years of prophecies. Thousands of years, over 300 years. And even things that don't make sense. Because one of the prophecies, out of Egypt I've called my son. That was one of the prophecies over Jesus. Out of Egypt I called my son. There's things in your past that do not make sense. That does not make sense to a Jewish person that fled Egypt. Out of Egypt, I called my son. But remember, they had to flee again and go back to Egypt. And then it says, fulfilled, out of Egypt, I called my son. Remember? They had to flee, and they go back. And so now, the things that even didn't make sense in your life, you make a straight way for the Lord, even those things that didn't make sense now can make sense, and you go, oh, that was it. Things that I couldn't even put together. That over 300 prophecies in 3.5 years. And Simeon recognized Jesus when he was a baby. We need to recognize God when we make a way for him. We need to recognize him when he starts it, not just when he completes it. When his glory and presence comes in, not just when we see the miracles. Because Simeon saw Jesus and he goes, now I can die because you promised I would see your Savior. Amen? And it was a baby. It was a seed. It was just a little thing. And so many times in our life, we're looking for the breakthrough and we don't even realize when the breakthrough started. There was a part where the Red Sea had to start to split. It had to start. They had to take the first step. It's when they reached out to the man. They have to stretch their hand out. See, there's an action. When you make the way straight for God and Jesus and he comes in your life, you go, okay, God, I want you to bring the mountains down. I want all my insecurities and fears and lacks and things where I don't think I measure up, but I'm not like this person and not like that person. And sometimes in the service and everybody's feeling things, I don't feel things. I'm just being honest with you. People ask me, what did you feel? Nothing. You know? I'm like, but I do. I love it when I feel his presence. And sometimes I feel when other people, we don't need to compare. We don't need to do those things. And you're not like everybody else. Get rid of all those things. God, the low places in my life where I think I lack, I want them level with you, Jesus. I want a ground where you can walk on. The mountains that I focused on, the things that I said are so high, so big, you need to bring them down. See, you can't bring the mountains down, but when you make a way for him, when Jesus comes in, he brings the mountains down. He brings the low places in your life. That thing, oh, I'll never go to the school, never be paid for, never have a business, never do this, I'll never raise my kids right, I'll never talk to my wife right. All those things he can raise up when you make a way for Jesus the King. Not those things, not those things. I'm not focusing on the low things. I'm not focusing on the high things. I'm going to make a way straight for Jesus to walk in, because when the King of Glory comes in, he brings goodness, healings, miracles, and we don't even focus on those things, because here's the problem. When those things start happening, we can even focus on those things and not his goodness. Do we realize why he does it? It's to set the people free. Do you realize what it's like to walk with a limp or to be looked at Starbucks? Do you realize? He does. And so many times, even in revival, they focus on those things. Have them give a testimony. Do you realize when they're giving a testimony, that is a person who suffered? He does. So when you make a way for Jesus, you're bringing his compassion in too, not just his power. He moved with compassion. He didn't sit with compassion. He didn't think with compassion. He didn't look at you with compassion. Jesus Christ moved with compassion to actually touch people. And when he touched them, they were changed. Lord, let us make a way straight for you, Jesus. We're not like Bethel. We're not Hillsongs. We're not any other church. Jesus, we want your glory. We want you more than you. Your presence, more than your glories, more than signs, more than miracles, more than prophecies, more than money. Because when you stand before the King, what will matter is all the people you touched. You build buildings because it will house people. We have a church because it houses people. We advertise because it changes lives. No, we don't get you out in an hour. That's not our goal, but we want to get you out with his presence. We want to get you out with his consciousness. Growing up, I mean, I used to be a roommate with Alan, and there's a certain church, I'm not going to mention the name. Every card they'd send, out in an hour, out in an hour, out in an hour. God wants them out changed. In one way, out another. People were always changed with Jesus. Some were angry. No one ever said, eh. Some were mad. Some wanted to kill him, but they were always changed. The high mountains were low. The low mountains were level when Jesus walked on the earth. Every message he preached, everything he ever did, mountains were coming down and valleys were lifted up. We want to stone her. She was caught in adultery. He lifted her up. The scribes and Pharisees got attention. He brought them down. Jesus is the master. He knows how to do it. We don't need to figure out this, that, the other. We bring Jesus in and he'll straighten everything out. See, I'm not called to be like another preacher, and you're not called to be like anybody else. Amen? And then John came. So there was the prophecy, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill made low. Prepare the way for the Lord. For the Lord, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The road is for him. The glory is for us. It starts off, if you read it, prepare a way for the Lord, and all the people shall see the glory. It's not just the Father, the Son, the Spirit. They have it. They don't need it. God doesn't lack anything. It's for us. It's to change our lives. It's that people are going to come in here that don't even believe in God, and they're going to be saved. Some will hate God and be changed. Families will be restored. Marriages will be changed because of his glory. Not just because of 3 points on a sermon. I'm not against messages. You guys know I'm not against. I listen to teachers. Even though I'm you know, people say you're more of a preacher. I listen to more teachers. I'm not against that stuff. But what I'm saying is, I heard 3 points. Those things are all good. But when you have an encounter with him, everything changes. See, when fire touches you, fire doesn't change. You do. When fire touches a house, the fire doesn't change. The house changes. I used to do insurance remediation, and you could have floods, this, but when there's a fire, man, it's distinct. I'll just say this. It's like, you know, it's like marijuana. I'll be in the movie theaters. Oh, I smell that marijuana. I know you. That's not vape. That's marijuana. My brother used to smoke weed. A fire is very distinct, but when it touches your life, it's the fire's not changed. And what we want to do is people want to change God to fit into what they want to do. So this road is about our mentality, our thinking, our repenting, changing the way we think. It's not a physical thing. We all know that, right? So he didn't go, I'm here to make a physical road. No. John the Baptist came. There was a prophecy. And then John the Baptist appeared. He preached, break the way of the Lord. This is the Messiah. This is who we're talking about. These are the thousands of years of prophecies, hundreds of years of prophecies. This is what we've been talking about. And I believe this year, the epicenter, we're going to have a visitation and we'll say, this is what we have been talking about. This is what the prophets have come, and Ed Trout and all the people, and, you know, Dale Gentry and all the prophecies for the years. We're going to say, this is the glory. This is what it actually happened. A man stood up, John the Baptist. He did not look like they thought. See, we can't say this is what we want revival, but it's got to look this way. We still want to get out at 1 o'clock, Lord, 1:30. You may get out, you may have to give keys. See, revival, if you look at revival throughout history, they're all different. All the revivals are different, but you know what they all had in common? Prayer. Some of them were just small groups of young people, and some of them were just Sabato, you know, the Hebrides revival. Lady who was, one was deaf and one was blind, but there was prayer. There was always prayer. And we've been praying for a long time, people, and there's bowls come up. But what we need now is we need to make the way straight. Okay, God, everything that we focused on, every mountain that we don't think we can accomplish as a church or overcome as a church, we're going to bring down. We want you to bring down, Jesus, because we're going to make a way. So let's just close our eyes. Lord, I thank you this year, Lord. We're making a way for you like never before. We've made a way for you, Jesus. We've made a way. But we're going to make a way for you like never before, God. We're going to make a highway, God. A road where you can have greater movement. A road where you can come in. It's not a narrow road. Jesus is the way. We sang about it. Lord, we're making a way for the way maker. This year, God, we are going to refocus on you individually and corporately, God.
God. Yes, we focused on you. Yes, we praised you, God. But we're not going to get sidetracked or try to do this or try to do that, God. We want your glory to come in and change people's lives, God. We want you, Jesus. We want you, Jesus. Not just signs, wonders, miracles, prophecies, God. We want you, Jesus. We want to make a road and a way in our families, in our homes, not just on Sunday morning, God, but how we talk to our wives, how we treat our kids, how we look at other people as a single person, God. We want to make that way road. And every road that was bumpy in your life, every little valley, every little thing he wants to fill up so it's level, so the King of Glory can walk in on a level path. It's a straight path. It's not curvy or windy, so it saves time. You can ride on a highway that takes a lot of time, or you can drive on a highway that's straight. God is going to condense time. 3.5 years, over 300 prophecies. 3.5 years, Jessica. Thousands of years in 3.5 years. Jesus condensed it this year. God is going to condense our prophecies and his glory for the Epicenter Church, and that means for your life. See, you need to change. You need to prepare your hearts. God, it's not going to be church as normal. It's not going to be things as normal. More money is going to come in. More people is going to come in. We won't always be in this building. All the prophecies, thousands of years, 300 prophecies in 3.5 years, one man, Jesus, condensed it. It wasn't 17 prophets. It wasn't even his disciples. It was one man, Jesus, the God-man, the one that created the world. And everything that didn't make sense, out of Egypt I've called my son. And the things that have not made sense will make sense in your life because the King of Glory comes in. Jesus, we want the King of Glory to come in. We sang about it. We sang about it. He's the way maker. Then we sang about it, his glory. He just doesn't want us singing about it. He just doesn't want us prophesying it. He wants us to experience. So God, every person in here who's felt like a valley, I thank you for raising them up to a greater level. I thank you for raising them up, God. Everything in them, God, you want to raise up. Mountains low, valleys up. Mountains low, valleys up. Only because of Jesus. Jesus, you are the King. One day all men will see it, God, but we want to see it now. One day everybody born, every waitress that ever served you, every president that ever sat in the Oval Office, they will see it one day. One day every knee will bow. That's both knees. But God, we want to do it now. We don't want to wait.